Let's look in our Bibles this evening to the book of Matthew, to chapter 3. The book of Matthew in chapter 3, and I'd like for us to read the entire chapter, 17 verses. Matthew in chapter 3. Our subject this evening is Heaven's Echo. Heaven's Echo. And maybe we'll see that as we go through the message. Matthew in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Our subject is not the baptism of Jesus, even though there's much to be said concerning that, but our subject this evening is the voice from heaven. The voice from heaven. On three separate occasions during the earthly ministry of Jesus, God the Father did speak from heaven. In two of those occasions, it was declared that Jesus was the Son of God. On the third occasion, it was an answer to Jesus' prayer. And I want us to look at these three separate occasions this evening, and I won't be able to dwell long upon each of them, but I think we can learn from just looking at those and comparing one to another. The first, of course, is here in our reading at the baptism of Jesus Christ. For approximately the first 30 years of Jesus' earthly life, he lived that life in seclusion, you might say, or in obscurity. We know at a very early age, even while an infant, he was carried into Egypt. Then we have a brief account when he was 12 years old. But other than that, there's just silence concerning the life of Jesus Christ. When he was born, angels announced his birth. A star was provided for those men of the east, but the voice of God was not heard. But we find it here in our text in Matthew 3 at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two important things, I think, about the timing of this voice from heaven. It came at the beginning of his earthly ministry, but it also came just before the temptation, the 40 days of temptation that you can read of in chapter 4, the very next words in your Bible. So this voice from heaven declaring Jesus to be the Son of God came at the beginning of his earthly ministry, but preceding the temptation in the wilderness. It's interesting to me to note in verse 17 of our reading that the declaration is, "This is my beloved Son." Then when you look at chapter 4, as he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, that Satan, the tempter in verse 2, the devil, came unto him and said in verse 3, "If thou be the Son of God." There was the declaration from heaven in verse 17 from the Father, "This is my beloved Son." Satan follows that immediately by, "If thou be the Son of God." So those are two important things, I think, concerning this voice from heaven coming at this particular time. But to those two things, I think we could even add a third. This voice from heaven came when Jesus was in the attitude and even in the act of obedience. In verse 15, after the protest of John about Jesus' baptism, Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And he's in an act and state of obedience. Now we know that the act of baptism itself did not fulfill all righteousness. It did not then, and it will not now. But it is what this act of baptism symbolized. The ordinances that the Lord has given to his church, that of baptism and the Lord's Supper, are both symbols. There's symbolism in both of them. They are types, and there's an imagery in the baptism of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this, what he's speaking of, I think, in verse 15, is what is symbolized in the act. Notice something else about the state of mind of Jesus when he was being baptized. Go with me to Luke chapter 3. And I think this is overlooked sometime. And this again is when that voice came from heaven. In Luke in chapter 3, and you'll notice in verse 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying. And praying. So Jesus is doing this act of baptism to symbolize the fulfillment of all righteousness in his sacrificial death, but he's also praying at his baptism. Have you ever just thought about when he was there with the Baptist being baptized, that he was praying to the Father? And there's just much to consider in that. Back in Matthew in chapter 3, at the baptism of Jesus, as I'm sure you know, there was that great manifestation of the Trinity. It was not the first revelation of the Trinity, of course. The very first verse in your Bible is a manifestation of the Trinity. In the beginning, God, Elohim, which is plural in the original, God created the heaven and the earth. So since the very first verse in your Bible, all the way through, there has been the revelation of the Trinity. But we see it here pretty clearly in Matthew and in chapter 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, that when you find that word, and lo, it means pay attention here. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So we have the Son in the water, the voice from the Father in heaven declaring him to be his only begotten or beloved Son. And then you have the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Now, remember something else along this line. I'm going to John in chapter 1. In the book of John and in chapter 1, and let's begin reading here in verse 29. John 1 and in verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, the voice that did speak, I'm going back to our text again. The voice from heaven in Matthew 3 and in verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Keep those words in mind if you would. Let's read the account in Mark chapter 1. In Mark and in chapter 1, and I'll read here in verse 11. Mark 1 and in verse 11. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now I go to the book of Luke in chapter 3 and read in verse 22. Luke, and in chapter 3, verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. The wording here is important. Of course, every word of God is important. But sometimes it's easy to misread or to misunderstand what is said. The voice that came from heaven did not say, This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, but he said, In whom I am well pleased. One recording says, In thee I am well pleased. Certainly the Father is well pleased with his Son. But most importantly, the Father is well pleased in his Son. And I find in those words the importance of our divine election and the importance of you and I being chosen in Christ, having our position in Christ. In him is our righteousness, sanctification, and the Father is well pleased in Christ. In Christ. And again, there is our salvation, and there is our security. Now let's move on to the second time the voice came from heaven, in Matthew in chapter 17. Matthew, and in chapter 17, and here we'll read the first 8 verses of this chapter. Matthew 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias or Elijah. While he yet spake, Peter got interrupted. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now again, let's read another account of that in the book of Luke in chapter 9. Luke, and in chapter 9, notice in verse 28. In Luke chapter 9 and in verse 28, and it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. Now, notice the purpose of going up into the mountain to pray. To pray. Jesus carried these three apostles that seemed to be very special under him, Peter, James, and John, and they went up into a mountain to pray. Verse 29, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, his raiment was white and glistering, and behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. As Jesus prayed, the transfiguration began. As he prayed, as we read in verse 29, the fashion of his countenance was altered, even his clothing, his raiment was white and glistering. And Moses and Elijah appeared there on the mountain at the transfiguration, and they spoke, they talked with Jesus. And notice that they talked with him in verse 31, of or about concerning his decease. Now what the details of that conversation, I don't know. But it's interesting to me that Moses and Elijah appeared there on the mountain with Jesus, James, John, and Peter. And they were not there to have small talk with Jesus. They were there to speak of his decease. Now, I've pointed out before, and maybe you'll remember, that word decease in verse 31 is translated from that word exodus. They talked to him about his exodus. Certainly that would include his death, burial, resurrection, but it must include also his ascension. Moses, Elijah spoke to the Lord about that decease or exodus. Verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias, not knowing what he said. I don't know what all these apostles had been through leading up to this. I don't know how long they'd been without sleep. But the Bible says in verse 32, Peter and they that were with him, which would be James and John, were heavy with sleep. And they went to sleep. They went up into the mountain with Jesus to pray, and they went to sleep. A little bit later, they'll go with him into the garden, and Jesus will carry them there to pray, and they'll go to sleep again. The flesh truly is weak. When they were awake, they saw his glory. They saw his glory. John would later write, we beheld his glory. Here it says they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. When you think of this meeting here with the apostles, Moses, which I would think represented the law, Elijah, the prophets, You have the apostles. You have Jesus. And all of this is going on. On this occasion, when the voice would come speaking in verse 35, on this occasion, heaven was not opened as before. The first occasion, you remember at the baptism, heaven was opened. That did not happen here. On this occasion, verse 35, there came a voice out of the cloud. The voice came out of the cloud. In verse 33, in the midst of all this, Peter foolishly speaks. Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias." And the scripture tells us he didn't even know what he said. Didn't even know what he said. Hold your place there if you would. Look in the book of Mark in chapter 9. Mark, and in chapter 9, in verse 5, "And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias, for he wist not what to say." You know, sometimes when you don't know what to say, it's better to say nothing than to open your mouth and make a fool out of yourself. Sometimes it's just better to be quiet. In Matthew, in chapter 17, Matthew, and in chapter 17, when we read of this, in verse 5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Now, I'm going to have to read the account in Luke to go with that, back in Luke chapter 9. In Luke and in chapter 9, verse 34, "While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him." Won't you notice two things here about this voice that did speak, declaring Jesus to be the Son of God? The first thing certainly is the voice said, "This is my beloved Son." At the baptism of Jesus, you had this man who must have been dripping wet, just coming out of the water being baptized of John. And here's this dripping wet man, and the voice said, "This is my beloved Son." Here in this second voice, you have the transfiguration. What a scene that must have been. But again, the voice, "This is my beloved Son." But something is added here. Besides the cloud, there's something that is added here. The voice said, "Hear ye him. Hear ye him." Moses was there. Elijah was there. Of course, there was Peter there with his foolish talk. But God did speak from heaven. And he did not say, "Hear Moses." He did not say, "Hear Elijah." He certainly did not say, "Listen to Peter." The voice said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Hear ye him. Keep that thought in mind if you would. Look in Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. I'm going to chapter 1. Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And God said, hear ye him. One of the great offices of Jesus Christ is that of prophet. And we know that he brought the word of God. God even gave him a commandment, what he was to say and what he was to speak. Go back all the way to Deuteronomy, if you will, chapter 18. In Deuteronomy and in chapter 18, and again, wording is important. We need to pay attention to it. God said, hear ye him. That he's God's prophet. Hear him. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and in verse 15, Moses said, the Lord thy God will raise unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me. And notice what else he said. Unto him ye shall hearken. Listen to him. It's what Moses said. Now, following that, let's go to the book of Acts and in chapter 3. Acts and in chapter 3, and here we'll read of that same thing that we read of in Deuteronomy. In Acts in chapter 3, verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And that voice came from heaven and said, hear ye him. Hear ye him. I'm going to go to Psalms, and now turn to Psalm 27. Remember that faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, not by seeing, but by hearing. And the voice said, hear ye him. This is my prophet. This is that prophet that should come into the world. In Psalms 27, verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see. I like those words. Believe to see. Faith cometh by hearing. Hear ye him. We'll never be able to see or perceive the things of God till we believe. It is that faith that does enable us to believe. One last thing about this second voice. Look in 2 Peter in chapter 1. And I like these words. I just like how the wording is here by the Holy Spirit. There seems to be something almost poetic in the words in 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory. Then you have the word when. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. That's the words that just stand out to me. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. The voice from heaven. Then I go to the third time. There was this voice. I'm going to John chapter 12. The book of John, and in chapter 12, and I'm hurrying, trying to get through this. John chapter 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sake. It was the time of the Passover. You look back to verse 1. It was the time of the Passover. Verse 23, Jesus' death is very near. It would not be long till he would enter into Gethsemane, and there he would experience agony of both body and soul. In verse 27 of this reading, he was already feeling agony and trouble of soul. And then you have this statement in verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? As I mentioned in one of our studies on Wednesday evening, the question mark is rightly placed in verse 27. Don't move it over. Don't have the question being this. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. The question mark does not go after hour. It goes where it is placed. And again, I've heard it preached and taught with the question mark out of order. But we have this statement. I'm not going to deal with that fact again. I want us to see Jesus' attitude, his desire at this time. Again, verse 23, the hour is come. The Son of Man should be glorified. Verse 24, he's speaking there about his death. Verse 27, he's already experiencing trouble of soul. What is his thought? What's his attitude at this time? Notice verse 28. He said, Father, glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. In the latter part of verse 27, Jesus knew why he had come to this hour. This is why he came into the world. He came into the world to do the Father's will, and doing the Father's will would glorify the Father. He came into this world to save his people from their sins, and it's the Father's will that that salvation come through the shedding of his blood. And again, in verse 28, he said, Father, glorify thy name. That was his primary concern. Glorify thy name. To me, verse 28 are the words of one of Jesus' greatest prayers. Other prayers are recorded. We know of the one in John 17. I do not diminish those in any way at all. But what a prayer here from a sincere heart. Father, glorify thy name. Through my suffering, through my death, glorify thy name. Notice in verse 27, brother, verse 28, notice the immediate response. This is what I refer to as heaven's echo. Heaven's echo. Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. And immediately there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Just like an echo. Father, glorify thy name. The voice came back. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. Hold your place there. I want to show you something in Psalm 27. We were in Psalm 27 just a little bit ago. But there is an echo that is to come from us unto God. And it ought to be just as immediate as an echo of that which we read of in our text concerning Jesus. In Psalm 27 and in verse 8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. There's an echo coming from earth back to heaven. Back in our text, Jesus said, the Father said, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. We could spend a lifetime, I suppose, speaking on how God had already glorified his